Think for yourself, what is the first thought, or what are the first thoughts that go through your head when you wake up in the morning? In the first two or three minutes that you are awake, what kinds of thoughts go through your head? I confess, many times I wake up and the first thought is 6:30 already, followed by the second thought of, Nicholas, can't you sleep a little bit longer today? It's Saturday. Followed by thoughts of, what do I have to do today? Or, I went to bed too late last night. But somewhere in the thoughts, in my thoughts, in the first couple minutes that I'm awake, is usually when I finally get myself to sit up in my bed, I make my cross and I say, thank you, God, that I'm seeing another day. And if I was the perfect person, which I'm far from, my first thoughts of the day would not be, darn that alarm clock. The first thought would be, thank you, God, that I'm seeing another day. And when my son comes into the room a little bit earlier than I wish, the thought should be, thank God he lives to see another day. And as I open my eyes and say, why did I stay up so late last night? I wish I could keep them closed for a little while. I should gaze at the ceiling of my room and I should say, thank God that I have a roof over my head. There are lots of people in this world who don't. And so my question to you, what kinds of thoughts go through your head in the first couple minutes that you're awake in the morning? Are they thoughts of gratitude? Thank God I'm alive. Thank God my wife is alive next to me. Thank God my son is alive. Thank God I have a roof over my head. Or are they thoughts of selfishness? I want to sleep more. Why did the time pass so quickly and I have to wake up again? Why do I have to go to work early? Why do I have to go to school today? And so, one of the challenges in our life is to balance thoughts of gratitude with thoughts of greed. And we all fight this battle, gratitude versus greediness. And why am I speaking of this? Because in this morning's gospel lesson, there's an encounter between Jesus and his disciples where he talks about serving other people. And when you serve somebody, that's taking something from you and projecting it onto someone else. And in the concept of serving, there is no room for greediness, but rather gratitude. Serving someone else is really an act of gratitude. I have a talent, I have something that I can offer to somebody else. I'm thankful that I have the talent that I have, and I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to offer it to somebody else. It's an emptying out of self. You cannot be selfish and serving at the same time. And two of Jesus' disciples took him aside privately and they said, can we cut a deal with you? A la that show Survivor. Anyone seen that show Survivor? Who's seen that show in the last 24 episodes? Let's be honest, who's seen that? Oh, either we have the good people in the congregation who don't need that kind of show. I used to watch it in the early years that just became kind of tired. Same thing. Let's make a side deal. Let's make an alliance. Let's be selfish. No Christian values there. So the disciples go to the Lord and they say, let's make a side deal, an alliance with you. So that when it's all said and done, one of us ends up at the right hand and one of us ends up at the left, the closest possible seats. I know we're all disciples, but can we have the two seats right close to you? And Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking. I mean, no one wants to be on that side. That's the side where all the condemned are. No one wants to be the left hand. We all want to be in the right hand. So number one, you don't know what you're asking. And then the other disciples find out, of course, as people inevitably do when we try to make a side deal, how many times he kind of comes back and bites us. The disciples, they find out about this, and then they go to James and John, and they're indignant with them. Like, are we all disciples? Are we all friends? And now you're cutting a side deal. And Jesus says to them, not so among you. You are my followers. This is not going to be the kind of behavior that my followers are going to have. Not so among you. But the one that wants to be the greatest of you must be the servant of all. And the one that wants to be first should be the last. Because in case you haven't understood what's been going on in the 3 years that Jesus has been walking the earth to this point, he says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And of course, the gospel lesson leads off with, we're now on a journey to Jerusalem so that he can do that exact thing. So gratitude versus greediness. And with gratitude, there are things like thankfulness, a feeling of being honored, flattery, and humility. When a person is a person of greed, they're wanting more. They're never satisfied. They put themselves ahead of other people. And they don't really know how to truly serve or give. Now let me give some concrete examples, some real life examples of gratitude and greediness. I'm talking to teenagers, but it works for older people too. What happens if we have a group of people together and we're having a good time and we're laughing together, maybe we're eating together, we're dancing together, and then we have to bring something into our environment that's illegal? We need to bring drugs into the environment, excessive alcohol into the environment. What does that say about us as people? It says that we're greedy. We're ungrateful for what God has given us, and we need more than that. Instead of saying, thank God I'm together with a few friends, thank God we can laugh, there's something to laugh about. God knows when you read the paper, there's not a whole lot to laugh about in the world today. Thank God we have something to laugh about. Thank God we have some food here. Thank God someone has a sense of humor. Instead, we become greedy and we want something else. We want more than that. And so we up the ante. Something else I talk to teenagers and young adults about, for those who are with children or grandchildren, I'm sure this will come up in your households. What do you do with dating? Our young people don't understand how to date correctly. Why is that? Because the world teaches us to be greedy, to always want more. Never is there a scene, at least that I have seen, I've never seen a scene in a television show where a young couple is walking on the beach and then they're tempted to do more than just hold hands, and they look at each other and they say, wait a minute, I'm flattered that you're walking here with me. And that's enough. I'm flattered that we're healthy. I'm flattered that we're seeing a beautiful sunset. Never do we see that as enough. We want more. That's greedy. How many times do we interact with people who are working and we don't trust those people because we think they're not looking out for us? I'll give you an example. I'm not sure something's a little wrong with my car. I took it to the auto dealership and I said, I don't know if something's wrong with my car or not. And they said, no, everything's fine with your car. I don't know if I can believe them. Because many times they tell you your car is great, and then 2 weeks the car breaks down, and then you bring it back and you say, I know something's really wrong with the car, I can't operate it. And they say, oh, that's too bad, because we can fix it for a lot of money. Whereas they could have gotten it sooner. All right, now this scene repeats itself many times in our places of work. Hopefully, if you are one of the people who is the server, you are being honest and forthright with the customer. But when I'm the customer, half the time, I'm not trusting the server. I'm not believing them. A few weeks ago, I took a project that I've been making for my son to Staples to have it laminated and bound in some pictures that I was making for him. And it was a very complicated thing. not complicated in the sense that it required a lot of brain power. It's complicated in the sense that it was going to take a lot of time to do it. And the person who helped me surprised me and was actually wonderful. Got it right on the first try. And when I went to pick up the project, she wasn't there working. But I picked it up and I called her this week and I said, you know, I just want to thank you for taking the time to do that the right way. It means a lot to me, it means a lot to our son. And I'm so surprised in a world where people don't usually care about their jobs, don't care about customer service, that here's somebody who actually did a great job. And she said, you know what? I really enjoyed doing that. In fact, I even stayed after work because I was so intrigued by this project. I stayed after work to get it done and I wouldn't let anybody else do it because I wanted to see it done the right way and I wanted to do it myself. So after I hung up the phone, I called the store back and I said, give me the manager of the store. And I said, your employee did a great job. I said, now give me the number of the president of Staples. And I got that and I wrote to the president of Staples and I said, thank God and thank you that one of your employees for at least a day restored my faith in humanity, in a work ethic. You know, I bet you probably get most of the letters of complaints and usually I do complaining and usually that complaining is justified. But today, something great happened. Someone actually served me. And they served with happiness. Not just to take a dollar from me. They served with happiness. So when you're serving, serve in happiness. Serve with gratitude. There are a few people I know in my life that when I call them or I interact with them, my blood pressure goes up. Does anybody know someone like that? As you're dialing the number, your heart rate starts to go up, and you're like, gosh, I'm just going to just fast forward for the next 10 minutes so I don't have to deal with this person. Right? If I'm one of those people for you, if you're calling me and your blood pressure is going up, number one, I'm sorry. And number two, please come and see me privately. Because if I thought that I was one of those people, I would have a hard time living with myself. If I'm one of those people for you, and you're not your father, you're like, I can't wait for this conversation to be over. Please come see me because I don't want to have that kind of relationship with anybody here. I don't want to be the blood pressure raiser. But there are some people who raise my blood pressure. Brokey, that's terrible. So in your life, and in the situations you're in every day, ask yourself, am I raising someone's blood pressure by what I'm doing, by what I'm saying, or am I serving them? Am I putting them at ease? Am I making them feel welcome, joyful, loved? Again, gratitude versus greed drives this whole thing. And if we are people of gratitude, and we really know what it means to serve others, then we're emptying ourselves and we're serving and we're bringing joy and we're lowering the blood pressure of everybody else. That's what Jesus is trying to get at in the gospel lesson today. Serve your neighbor, love your neighbor, empty yourself for your neighbor, the way that our Lord emptied himself for our entire human race. Again, I'm not perfect, I'm guilty, I'm sure, of raising blood pressure many times. So I'm a work in progress. But hopefully my goal is to go from a greedy person to a grateful person. So I want you to take that away with you this week and think about everything that you're doing this week and every interaction you're having in your family, in your work, with your friends. Am I a person of gratitude or greed? Am I somebody who's lowering blood pressure or am I somebody who's raising it? And the final thought I leave you with is that in the gospel lesson, Jesus turns the attention of the disciples to what's coming in just a few days. They're on their way to Jerusalem. And we know as Orthodox Christians, as we flip the calendar over, it's now the fifth Sunday of Lent. We know what's right around the corner. That's Holy Week. And so this week, everyone is going to be thinking, how am I going to spend Holy Week? And some people will make a plan to be here at every service. And some people will make a plan to be here just for the Anastasy. And some people will make a plan for something in the middle. So this week, spend some time before Holy Week is upon us. And make a plan for yourself. How am I going to mark these special days? Again, it's not a time of obligation. I have to go to give God his due. I need to go to more to give God his due at Holy Week. But if it's rather about truth and gratitude, I'm thankful for what God did for me. I'm going to spend some time in prayer thanking God and asking for His help to make me a thankful, grateful person and to take away any inclination I have to be a greedy person. I'm going to reaffirm what I believe. I'm going to open up my heart and my mind and learn something new. This is what we have here holding me. It's a privilege to mark these days. So think about how much of the privilege you're going to take advantage of. And for those who are not working because you're retired, or you're not working in the days, consider going to all the services. It's a really blessed thing to be able to go to church and receive communion 8 days in a row. It's a great opportunity and a great privilege to be able to go to many, many services and to center your whole life for a week around the things not of the world, but of the things of God's world, God's kingdom. So with that, I have a wonderful week, and I'm thankful and grateful that I see a full church again today. I'm thankful for the choir. I'm thankful for all of you who came today and made this a beautiful prayerful service.